Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
All campuses, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying today, because this is code for the banner. Everybody shout, I believe 2020, I will see with 2020 vision, the manifestation of my hopes and dreams. And I want you to say it louder. Of my hopes and dreams. And then drop the name on it. In the name of Jesus. Now, the devil's no doesn't compare to God's yes. When he says yes, the devil can't do anything but try to slow you down, to keep you back. And I want to talk to people who maybe you're new to this whole thing. And that's fine. It's like pretty easy. God's fun. God made music. God made blues music. God made rock and roll music. God made every kind of music and every kind of person. But the world might have taken it, but it first came from God. Everybody shout, if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Now, what I want to talk to you about is in Acts chapter, we'll go to chapter 15 real quick. It says, after these things, I will return to you and I will raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen into ruins, and I will restore and rebuild what David experienced. I will restore and rebuild what David has experienced. What's important for you to know is this temple that God's talking about here right now is the tabernacle of David. How many ever heard of Solomon's temple? Anybody heard about that? You know, it's like a $1 billion building, quite impressive. You know, granite counters and columns and onyx and gold. And I mean, it was spare no expense. This is God's house, and that's really cool. But he says here in Acts, he said, I'm actually coming back, and the church that I want to rebuild is not Solomon's temple. I want to rebuild the experience that David had. The temple that I want to rebuild is David's temple, which was really just a few tent poles with some real rickety looking material flapping in the wind, but there was fire on the inside of the tent. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And the fire was the Shekinah power of God. Now, God is real. He's real, real. And I believe he's going to continue to minister to you and to bless you and to help you. But one of the reasons why he's doing this, church, is because he wants us to enter into a new season, into a new day of breakthrough, of supernatural breakout, so that you can say, I don't just go to work, I'm led at work. I'm always at the right place at the right time. The Holy Spirit checks me. Don't go in that Walmart right now, which I would suggest to go to Target anyway, but that's a whole other thing. But I'm here to tell you that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Listen to this inner quickening. So God wants to rebuild a tabernacle, and the tabernacle he wants to rebuild is not a building, it's you. Everybody shout, I am the church.
I am church.
Come on, even at home, all campuses, what?
I am the church.
You are the church. God loved you so much that he picked you to live right now. He could have had you in the 1800s. How many of y'all thank God he didn't have you in like 1902? Let me tell you, no microwave, no indoor plumbing. How would you make your Hot Pockets? Come on, people, help me right now. God put you here in this season, in this space, because he knew that you were the ones that could handle terrorism, that could handle threats of the enemy. And you could say, oh no, devil, not today. We're going to fight back. We're going to fight fire with fire. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And God, we love you today, but more than we love you, we know you love us, because that's important, that you know the Lord loves you. So many of you here and at all campuses today, you're beat down and you think that the Lord doesn't love you. How can I experience a banner year? After all, I did this. After all, I can't control this. You cannot boast of your love for God. I don't care how high you can jump. You're not going to impress God. I don't care how good you can talk. You're not going to impress God. What impresses God is not your love for him, but your revelation of his love for you, that he sent Jesus on the cross to die for you. So that makes you want to start singing, there's another in the fire. Who am I talking to today? Am I helping anybody but myself? So now I want us to go to Acts 16th chapter, and I want to tell you an experience that I had. This last Sunday, I was preaching at our church in West Palm Beach, and all of a sudden, God started moving in the church. We started singing, it's another in the fire. Titus was there, and Josh was there, and we're singing another in the fire, and God started moving. And I felt something in here moving me towards what we're doing right now. Then I went home to our condo there, and I had an hour to work out before I went on the flight back to St. Louis. And I put on my earphones, and I would suggest to you to write these songs down. Another in the Fire by Hillsong, phenomenal. Prophesy by Planet Shakers, phenomenal. Banner Year by Faith Church, phenomenal. These are songs that'll propel you towards the things of God. Yeah. So I got my earphones in, and I'm working out. And while I'm working out, they start singing, "There's another in the fire standing next to me." And I just started crying. And now there's other people in the gym, but I'm crying, but I'm controlling my cry. Nobody sees it that bad. Then it became so strong that I couldn't control it anymore. And so I go over into the bathroom, and I immediately drop down. Earphones are still in, and I drop down, and there's a sink there, and I put my hands in the sink. I turn the sink on, and God begins to wash my hands with the sink. And he said, "I'm washing your hands right now. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord but he that hath clean hands and a pure heart?" He said, "I want you to delete every song that is not me for the rest of the year on your playlist." And I thought in my head, I don't want to do that. I've got loads of time on that. I've got my party list. I've got my fun list. I've got my workout list. Anybody got a playlist? Raise your hand. And in my mind, I thought, okay, I just won't listen to it. And then I heard God say, "Are you seriously gonna do that? After you were raised in a trailer, you're not educated to do this job. And I'm asking you in your 50th year for the rest of this year to give it totally to me." And of course, right then I started deleting, and I'm embarrassed to tell you it took a really long time. And then all I was left with was like two playlists. And I realized then that even as a man of God, that there was some balance that was off in my life. And not that I listened to that all the time, but I knew there were certain songs at certain times that I really liked to listen to. And God was saying, "I want all of you or none of you. Do you want to requalify for this next level?" Somebody ought to help me at all campuses right now. So I leave. I go back, finish the workout. And then I felt a confidence, and I want to talk about that for a minute. There's a confidence that comes and only comes when you know you're doing your best. But there's something when you don't give your all, you know you don't give your all, and you cannot max out your life. You cannot be all that God called you to be, straddling the fence. And I want to be clear. It wasn't that I was doing anything bad. It wasn't that I was living right. But some days on a Monday, after I preach all the sermons, worship music didn't get it for me like Cardi B did. And God was like, "Listen, if the power of God is on you so strong, you can listen to a slow song and feel the presence and the power of God. I can come on you and do what Red Bull can't do." Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I can caffeinate you with something that'll take you to a high that is the most high high. Somebody ought to get excited today. If you give God all of your life, every bit of it, say, "God, I'm yours." And then I got on the plane, and as soon as I sat down in the seat, and this is the part that people didn't like when I told them Tuesday night a little bit of this story, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Because I don't like genetically modified anything, especially preaching. But as soon as I sat down, one of the hottest girls outside of Pastor Nicole that I've ever seen in my life is sitting next to me. And as soon as I sat down next to her, and this never happens, but the devil will set it up. But he's so crazy, he didn't realize how full I was. So as soon as I sit down, she looks at me and she goes, "God, you smell good." And I looked at her and thought, if you knew how not interested I am, that I've just deleted everything on my playlist, and right now you're probably going to see me cry all the way home, and I don't have any problems, but I'm just worshiping God right now. Somebody ought to help me right now. In other words, your plate is so full of steak, you can't eat another thing. You can't say, I just want one bite of that hot dog, because God is a God that'll fill you up, and if you give him all of you, he will grow you up, he will blow you up, and you will have what we're having right now, which is this spontaneous revival of overflow, breakthrough, and supernatural opportunity. I give you 10 seconds to praise him right now. All campuses, every campus we got, I want you praising him before the rocks do. When I was a little boy, thinking about David's house or Solomon's house, there was my favorite house. My favorite house was the 2851 Olidell, and I pulled it up on my phone. I Googled it, and then I went in and recorded on my phone. They'll put it on the screen at all campuses. And I recorded the house so you could see it. This is my favorite house, not because it had a pool, because it didn't. Not because it was big, because it's not. But I just kind of Googled imaged that and kind of ran around the yard, and so many memories began to fill my mind. And the reason I went there is because if you watch as it spins over to the left, it was there that my dad built a tree house for me. But he didn't finish the tree house like right over, where is it? I'm going to get it right. I'm going to zoom in over there. And in the trees, he built a tree house, but he never finished it. It was nothing more than a platform. It looked like this. And I always wanted my dad to finish it, but he never finished it. Come to find out, I knew my dad never procrastinated. He never started something that he wasn't going to finish. But I think my dad wanted to finish, but I think my father said no because he wanted me to have a platform where I could experience him. And just like those two doves were at church today. Supernatural things would happen to me as a young boy. I would get up on there and I'd pretend I was preaching. My cousin, a month different than me, I would come over and I would have her lead worship. God loving my little brother, didn't know anything, did not want to participate at all, but I made him. I had to have somebody to preach to. Come on, somebody, help me right now. I'd pray for him and put his arm inside his coat pocket, and he'd be miraculously healed. I'd be like, praise God. He would look like, you're stupid. And I'm like, I'm buying that devil. Look what God just did for you. And you're not grateful? True story. So that was my favorite house because of the experience that I felt with God. And you know my story. Just because I had that experience doesn't mean I didn't fall away. Later in life, went through a divorce, a betrayal, and a hurt. Started looking for love in all the wrong places. Did some stupid stuff. So God doesn't look at your lineage, your perfection. He looks at the cross and says, I got a plan for you, and I'm going to use your mess, David Crank, to make it a message. But when you get there, make sure you tell everybody, somebody ought to help me right now, that Jesus is the reason that you're here. A little bit wrong. God's house. God's house. God's house. God's favorite house is you. So I just really want us to prepare our hearts at all campuses for what God's saying to me. I'll tell you what happens when you turn off all the secular music. By the way, I want to go on record and tell everybody we will still continue to do secular music in mashups at church. And the reason why we do that is because there are lost people that I meet at the gym, one of which is a guy named Jackson this week, and I invited Jackson to church. And if Jackson comes to church this weekend and he sees me this crazy, he needs to hear me singing some stupid Cardi B or something to make him pay attention. See what I'm saying? People, world... I'm going to try it over here. Worldly people need to come to church and go, I like it, but I'm scared of it, and it's weird. But then you break out into something crazy, and then they go, oh, he wasn't born as a monk. I'm just a normal guy with normal clothes. Come on, somebody ought to help me. And by the way, that's part of the reason why I dress like this weekend, so people wouldn't think, oh, it's Benny Hinn or something. Now, Acts 16. One day... they were going to the house of prayer. That's the importance of going to church. And they were entering, and a young slave girl who had an evil spirit. Notice there's a devil in the Bible. Spirit of divination. A spirit of the python. Everybody shout the spirit of the python.
Spirit of the python.
God spoke to me and told me to tell you that there's a spirit that's been after you, and it's the spirit of the python. Now, I don't like any snakes, and if you like snakes, you're just weird. Some people tell me, well, that snake can't kill you. Any snake that can give you a heart attack can kill you, okay? Let's go on record there. People with snakes, they're weird people. I don't trust you. But the spirit of Python is different because it doesn't just come up and bite you. The spirit of Python, the snake, wraps itself around you with that pornography, wraps itself around you with that depression, wraps itself around you, and now you're getting the very life sucked up out of you. You're alive, but you're dead. You don't feel the zest that you once did. And it's the spirit. And I'm here to prophesy to you as a guy who has set myself apart during this season of entering my 50th year on September the 9th. Write that down. That's my birthday. But when I enter 50, that means jubilee. That means that supernatural favor. And I'm not going there alone. If I'm having a birthday party and I'm having cake, y'all eating cake too. And I'm turning 50 and y'all are getting jubilee. And we're going to release this spirit of Python off of your sleep pattern. Come on, somebody ought to get out in agreement with this. I'm talking every campus right now. The spirit of Python has to go. That's your word. It's going to go. We're not going to put up with it anymore. Shout, I'm not going to put up with it anymore. Says that she earned great profits for her master by being a fortune teller. And she kept following, shouting, Paul said, these are servants of the Most High God. And it said day after day she would say that. She continued until Paul was greatly annoyed. Greatly annoyed. Do you know that a lot of things won't stop bothering you till you become greatly annoyed? So you go, you know, it was bugging me. I didn't know it was bugging me, but you are bugging me. So devil, today is the day that I'm drawing a line in the sand, and you are not going to cross that line anymore because you've been annoying me. Come on, West Palm. You've been annoying me. Come on, Ferguson, Earth City. You're greatly annoyed. I'm done with that. Then what happened? Paul was greatly annoyed, so he turned to her and to the spirit that indwelled her, it said, I command you in the name of Jesus, the anointed one. Come out of her. And at that very moment, the spirit came out of her. Be bold and authoritative in this revival flow that you have. There's a holy boldness that was coming on me. And there's always been bold faith. That's how we've done what we've done. But there's a part of me that has really went after lost people in a big way. And I never like to pressure people. But this week, I called somebody that goes to the church. They're here right now. I see them. And I called them and said, I haven't seen you in a really long time. And the Holy Spirit keeps troubling me and bothering me. And he spoke to me and said, for me to call you and tell you, he doesn't want you to go to hell. Now, I want to clear it up and say, you don't go to heaven by going to church. But you're increasing your odds because when you come to church and you feel the Holy Spirit, you don't continue to do the stupid stuff that you used to do because the anointing removes burdens. Somebody ought to say amen to this and destroys yokes. That's why you need to come to church. That's why you need to bring your little cray-cray kid to church so he don't go nuts. It's in the gene pool. It's dangerous. It's tight, but it's right. But I told him that. And the guy started crying and said, you know what, I'll be there. And I'm just telling you that you can go to any church that you want. But there's something supernatural about Faith Church. And there's an anointing about this church. And there's an anointing upon me and upon the team to prophetically take this church into a revival. And if I were you, I'd get in it and stay in it and allow the Holy Spirit to move. Now here's what's important about this word. There's a part of me that feels like that I need to go to all campuses. It's tearing me up right now on the inside that, man, I haven't been to Earth City in about a month. How could I not go there? That's a huge church. Thousands of people go there. I got to go there, God. And God tells me, you have to do what I tell you to do. And wherever you go, stream works. And so you're wasting oftentimes time flying to Florida. Not that I won't go to Florida all the time. I'd be preaching there Tuesday night. But you go here, you go there, and you, it's not important, and I said that earlier, it's not important your presence. It's important for my presence to come, and you can't get the Holy Spirit to move and get you set free in 28 minutes. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. So that's why when we stream at all campuses, if they're shouting here, shout there. I don't feel like shouting. This isn't about you. It's about the person that might be in the room that's thinking about going and gunning people down, but they came into church, got saved, fire baptized, got on the right path, and we never see the terrorism that was done because that spirit of Python was released off of their life. Come on, give God praise to them. Now, I got to wrap it up quick. I want you to write this down, that miracles come out of painful places. My daddy died with a church of 180 people, and I was dying on the inside myself. He died on a Saturday. I preached for him on a Sunday. I buried him on Monday, and I preached for him on Tuesday. And 15 years later, I'm still doing that. And I died every second, then every minute, then every hour. Then it went to every day, and then I went a few days, and I got better. And I'm all better now. But I'm here to tell you that miracles happen in painful places. So some of you today, you're in a bad spot spiritually. You're low. You feel bound. Python's grabbing you. And you came in here today And what I want you to do is do what I tell you to do. If you will, my trainer tells me that, if you will eat only what I tell you to eat and do exactly what I tell you to do, you will be shredded. You will not look like other 50-year-old people. So I hate it today that he sent me calories today and it's 1,202. And I had one protein shake. I have one piece of chicken as soon as I'm done. And I'm going to go to the 12:30 and preach. Then I come back and I get another piece of chicken. Then I get another piece of chicken. And then I get a protein shake. And then I'm done. But guess what? I like the results. I like the way I feel. So I'm telling you as a trainer, if you will do exactly what the Holy Spirit says, you will ingest only what He says, your outward man and your inward man will totally be in the most phenomenal shape of your life, and you will have 16 months of heaven on earth starting in September. Come on, somebody help me right now. Your life will never be the same. Now I got to hurry because I don't want to keep you all day. Look at your neighbor and say, take your time. You guys are so kind to me. Now, after verse 23, we jump down. It says, and after they were severely beaten, talking about Paul and Silas, they were in prison, and the jailer commanded the guard to take them to the place, and they placed them in the most innermost part of the prisons, and they had their feet chained. And Paul and Silas prayed until the middle of the night. I'm telling you, sometimes you got to pray in the middle of the night when it looks the darkest. They prayed in the middle of the night, and they sing songs like we were a while ago to God. And other prisoners listened, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and it shook the foundations of the prisons, and every prison door flung open, and every chain was removed, and all the prisoners came loose. That is what I want to tell you, is that means jubilee. The 50th year for me and for you, even if you're 18, you're entering into jubilee. Jubilee comes from the word Jobel. Jobel means jubilee. Jubilee means Jobel, and it means this. It means that in jubilee, all prisoners are released, all debts are canceled, and all property goes back to its original owner. Now, the reason why this is exciting for me, because I believe in 2020, that in Florida, the property that belongs to our church there is coming to us, because all property that God made comes back to its original owner, which is the church, which also could be you in the house of your dreams. The other thing I'm excited about is it says that Paul and Silas were there, and they began to sing praises to God. And not only were they released, the other people released. My question to you is this. How many of y'all have family members that need God? They're bound. They're on the wrong path. Raise your hand right now. I'm saying when you come out and you're on fire, they're coming out. And it says when that earthquake hit, it says it startled the jailer and it woke him up. And he noticed that every cell was completely open. And he assumed that all the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to defend himself and to kill himself. And Paul said, don't. Paul shouted in the darkness, stop. In the name of love. He said, don't hurt yourself. We're all here. Then the jailer called for light. As I close, notice how Paul could see in the dark, but the jailer had to turn on a light. I'm telling you that God's people, you are the church of Jesus Christ, that you will be able to prophesy in the dark, see in the dark. In other words, you have night vision to take you where you want to go. Somebody ought to shout amen to this. Where other people need natural light, like I need to know if I'm going to, I wonder. You will not need natural light. You will light of your spirit.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.